Father, we come in Jesus' name and thanking you, Lord, how you enrich us with your word. Lord, thank you again for him. What a savior. What a friend. What a shepherd. What a shield and buckler and high tower. Oh, Lord, and what a lover. Thank you for letting us know these things. Father, thank you for this marvelous plan of your grace, mercy, and love. Let it grow up in us a little bit more this morning. Thank you for this time that you have given us in your word. Thank you that you've brought us here together. Thank you, you've given us a place. Thank you, God, how you have protected us in your word. We give you the praise and thanksgiving forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Get many notes throughout the week. Very thankful. The love of God and the saints. Get them from all over the world. From his vessels of mercy. Received one this, a couple weeks back. Precious brother Aaron out there in Kansas City. He had to send me a note defining the definition in the Hebrew of the word New Year. It means a doubling. In the Hebrew, the New Year means a doubling. Isn't that something? If you will, a double portion. Our ever-increasing God, I think of how he ministers to us in everything and always after us to ever increase. But we know that the only way that will ever happen in our life is it's the word of his grace. God tells us that it's the word of his grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance. Builds us up for him, this masterpiece. If you will, it's a rib portion body that is his bride. And I thank God in 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, we're going lots of different places. I believe it's Bible study Sunday morning from here on out, so here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. It says, for all things are for your sakes. Isn't that wonderful? It said that, you know, he forgave us our iniquities for his sake. I love that, you know. But then after he did all that, he said, now it's all for your sake too. Praise God. And he says that all things are for your sake. And it says there that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And let me retranslate that for you. That the superabounding grace brings the overflowing glory of God. That's what superabounding grace brings. That's why there's nothing else to preach. And if we had ever just realized how superabounding his grace is, and by the way, he gave us all superabounding grace. He has not withheld a thing from us. Think about the overflowing glory that we can be for him. Amen. So since he's given us that superabounding grace bringing overflowing glory, verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. More and more glorious within, praise be to God. That's what this is. As you understand the word of God, this thing might decay, this thing is going to... It looks like it's perishing at an increasing rate. But I'll tell you what, as we get into the word of his glory and the word of his grace, the word of his mercy, how that builds that glory in us. Praise be to God. And the inward man, that new man, is increased and renewed day by day. And this is the truth, brothers and sisters. This word of God is the truth. But see, it needs to be taken in. Not here, but here. That it is your life. It's not just your knowledge per se of cerebral. It's your life. It's your heartbeat. It's your breath. It's every thought. Praise God. Captivate my thoughts, Lord. Bring me this joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let it radiate. And it is. It's this wonderful word of God. It's got to be taken in. It needs to be lived and cherished and nurtured and abounding. And I think about these things that God has given us and how he ministers to us. And I really do. It causes you to burst with thanksgiving with every thought of our Lord that is in us and to us. And you think about, It's always about ever increasing. See, man wants to beat you down. That's all man can do. But God wants you to increase. God wants you to soar. The Lord, praise God, He wants you to be like Him. It's marvelous. I think about that increase. You know, think about how He began that relationship with His disciples. I don't call you servants anymore. You're my friends. He wants more, doesn't He? Always giving us more. It gives me chills thinking about that. And then it's not just friends. I'm going to show you something, you know. And He comes in there. He calls them brethren. And then it goes on. He starts to call us beloved brethren. And then, my goodness, He kind of has to get a little bit more. See, He goes a little slow. And then I can't hold up. My dearly beloved brethren. Now, I'm going to ask you again. What kind of talk is that? That dearly beloved. That's matrimony talk. Come on, be honest. Just read the Word of God for what it is. Where is He going with this thing? You know where He's going with it? I want you. I want you in this intimacy with Me. Not only heirs, but joint heirs together with Him, huh? Not only love, but He wants a perfect love, a complete love in you. He wants a full love. And I thank God He assures us in this. He assures us in the Word. And He assures us so much, He tells us that we know. You know this. Don't you love the Lord that He speaks to you like that? See, He's not asking you to guess or wonder about it. You know this. And why do we know it? Because I've told you. I've told you, and I've told you clearly, and I've told you plainly. You know. There's no doubt. The enemy is all about doubt and confusion and wondering. God's not about that. He's a God of efficiency. Yes, He is. He's a God of patience, but He's efficient in His patience. He's a God of long-suffering, but He's efficient in His long-suffering. And even though we wait, praise be to God, we know. And we know because He's spoken and He has told us. But yet somehow, we still worry. And I'm just as mad at you as I am at me. Why? Why do we worry? Let's go through some of these things that He tries to settle us down in. Turn over to the Psalm 138. You know this. And then the 8th verse, what a beauty here. Why do we worry? When He tells us this, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. I mean, that's just beyond. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to work it out. He didn't say, we'll get through this together. He said, I will perfect that which concerns you. And if you thought that there was something so horrible or so beyond His perfecting or His concern for you anymore, don't just stop reading right there. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Amen. See, I'm going to tell you something. I love this, David. He realized his life was one big ball of I need mercy. He was such a failure, he didn't even have time to get puffed up. I really think of his life that way. I love him so very much. I'm so thankful for the heart that God gave my brother David, because it speaks to me. It speaks to me all the time. What a friend I have in that brother, because of the Word of God that worked effectually in him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, honey. He's a God that will never leave you. He's a God that even though you make your bed in hell, He'll be there with you. He will perfect that which concerns you. He will complete it. He will make it filled with all the fullness of God for His glory. Because His mercy endures forever. His mercy is new every day. It meets you every day at the door. When you open your eyes in your bed, there's mercy. Because you need it. Yeah. And it's not just okay, it's glorious. Because mercy looks at one thing. It looks at the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Why do you think it says when they see Him in heaven, the lamb slain. Oh, the Father, he was ravished to give his son for that. He was ravished by his son to be made sin for us. Yes, he had to look away. And yes, there was a loan that we will never know that he took. But I also am beginning to see it was ravishing. It was ravishing to what the Lord became for us. Not the sin, but the love of God that was in him. Oh, thank you, God, I'm seeing it. Oh, I'm seeing something I've never seen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it even gets more glorious. Turn over to Romans 8. Embossed upon your hearts, if you've come here for any length of time. In the 28th verse, not only does he perfect that which concerns us, and we know. Oh man, it just, there is no doubt. And yet we doubt. But here is God, very God, a very God, and he's telling you, you know this. Stop. Put away the childish things. And you know what childish things are? They're unbelief. You know what childish things are is, well, I've got it all together and I'm such a righteous dude. You don't. It's his mercy. And thanks be to God for this encouragement. And think of the ones who encourage us in these things. It's a David. Praise God. Amen. It's a Saul. Praise God, who became Paul. But here it is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And I'm telling you what, sheep, you know his voice. Don't ever doubt that you're not called according to his purpose. I've seen people try to break down this verse and twist it around in its glory and say, well, see, it's not going to work out for your good if you're going this way or that way. I understand that. But he is always there in an instant to work it together for your good. And I'm telling you, with all thanks be to God, I'm telling you with all absolute abandonment and sincerity, God has taken my greatest failures and worked them for the greatest glory of my life. Without them, I would not be the man of God that he is growing up in me today. Now I'm going to tell you this. I am so thankful to God in the way that he has taken me. I'm so thankful to God that I know him in this intimacy. Now, man would like to get around and say, oh, well, I'm going to parade around and tell you of this and that and all. Let me tell you something, as David said, before thee and thee only have I sinned. Amen. You got faith? Keep it between you and God. Do you get this? See, man wants to be magnified. They'll blubber and bawl in front of you and say this and that. Let me tell you something. You go to God. You believe God. You understand the friend that you have that sticketh closer than a brother. Know the word of God. Don't go in man's emotion in what is popular to the people. Let me tell you something. The word of God will never be popular to man. I love you. You love the word of God. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Because this isn't what man wants to hear. But this is what pleases God. Brothers and sisters, do you hear him here as he tells you all things work together for good to them that love God? He cares for you. He's screaming out to you always, I got this. Matter of fact, I got you. And here we are. And I'm just flailing. I'm just entangling myself. It's kind of like Dwayne's laughing because he's seen me entangle myself in fishing line. Dwayne, I can't get out of here. You know, I said, you just finally throw your pole and scream. That's what I did with my brother Dan one time. He laughed. I heard him laughing over there as he fished when I was a kid, about 32. No, I didn't do it. You don't realize how, maybe you do, how incompetent your pastor is. But I love it. But I'm going to ask you this. Why then? Why should we be concerned with any detail of our life? I'm going to ask you why. Yeah. But why? I mean, we can say flesh, but why? Because you know the Word of God. Let me tell you something. Stall-fed calves, and we know that. We've been stall-fed calves. The reason is because Paul's gospel. That's it. I can't tell you how that worked except for the grace of God. But that's all that's been preached in here over the years. That's it. It's been one thing, win him. Win him. It's been one thing, the word of his grace. By the grace of God, we're going on. And I'll tell you what, vessels of mercy, the riches of glory, it looks good on you. Let's keep on going. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you know what? Knowing that your life is in this complete detailed care of very God, you begin to rest in the promises of God. You do. But yet, isn't it interesting? We don't trust God fully. And you know why I think we don't trust God fully? Is we don't look at him as God often enough. Sometimes we, I think, get to thinking of ourselves. And you know what? I can't trust myself. Oh. What did he say? I told you what I said. I can't trust myself and I can't trust you either. He said, don't put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. You have to understand this. This gives glory to God. And I'll tell you what, you begin to give glory to God and then you will be like him. Your life might have some confidence in the Lord. Praise God. That might give somebody some encouragement. Praise his name. See, we know we're flakes. I like that. Flake, flake, flake. But see, that's even more reason to know how wonderful the love of Jesus is. That he is the only one that is faithful and true. I want you to listen to his heart today. Listen to his heart. Listen to the things that he tells us here. Go on over to Joshua. These are just beautiful nuggets of his love and his love letters to us. And, you know, just a little note that I pray will just ring in our hearts and continue to ring. But in Joshua, it says, chapter 21, verse 45. That's Joshua 21, 45. It says, there failed not aught of any good thing. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. See, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful to that thing that he has sent this word, thing. He'll perform it. Praise God. And notice this. All came to pass. What do you think all grace will do? Praise the Lord. Amen. Because it's your all sufficiency. For all things. Always, to superabound to every good work. So that's all inclusive, isn't it? There isn't anything that's not encapsulated in that promise. See, that's the promises of God. And notice what he said. Everything which the Lord had spoken, all came to pass. And that's what we rejoice in every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, every time we get together. We just rejoice in the Lord because it all comes to pass. Praise be to God. Amen. But see, that's the beauty about the Lord too. He said, even call those things which be not as though they were. See, things that we see in our eyes that maybe aren't fulfilled yet in Christ, they're already done. The way of escape has already been made. Amen. So we know that if we're in something, God's already brought us out of that something. Praise him now for it. Praise God. Why not have a good time now as opposed to just a good time later? I'll perfect that which concerns you. All things work together for good. Taught me that as a young man. Had some great disappointments. I know I had some teachers and some coaches and different things. I know they were sent by Beelzebub himself. I'm confident. I'm telling you, ask my mother. She'll tell you every single one of them that was against her son was. But see, even though they meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Those things that I really wanted so badly, God knew if I got them, they would have destroyed me. And it has to be that precise and perfect, but that's our God. That's this God of the greatest detail that you could ever think of in his love to you. Turn over to Numbers chapter 23. How wonderful this is. It's marvelous. In Numbers 23, going over to verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he, listen to this, it's so wonderful. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Isn't that beautiful? You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's a commandment. If you will, it's a command. He gave that to you. And he gave that to you because of the life of his son that lives in you, all by the blood of Jesus. And it can't be reversed. Isn't that wonderful? And yet, what breaks my heart is there's many a Christian. They spend their whole life trying to figure out how it can be reversed. Because that's just the mind of chaos. That's the mind of the enemy. Don't even give a moment to that mind. Don't. Listen. Listen. How beautiful is our God. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I got to give you one more, I'll tell you. You know, I know somebody's got to get up off the floor back there. Sometimes he does, he just slays you with this love. Isn't it awesome? When you know how he loves you, Deuteronomy chapter 7, listen to this one. Verse 9. See, this isn't to doubt again. Here we go. We got that no. That wonderful K-N-O-W. Know it. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Oh, it's so marvelous. The Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. He keepeth promises. He keepeth promises. And gives them undeserved. That's covenant to mercy. He keepeth promises. And he gives them undeserved. To them that love him. Aren't you thankful you love him? It didn't say obey him. Didn't say those that, you know, bow down before him. It said them that love me. And you know what? When you love him, you will bow down before him and you will obey him. Because he's God. And because he's a faithful God. Isn't that wonderful? He's such a loving God. I love this. And I love that you love Jesus. I love that you love God. And oh, yes, you do. So lock into that faithfulness. Amen. Lock into that faithfulness. Faithful God faithfulness. You don't have any faithfulness. But he has the faithfulness. Praise God. Because his faithfulness holds you because he chose you. And those that win him are convinced of this faithfulness. Convinced of that blessing. Convinced of that grace. Amen, brother. I'm it. You're it. You're it. That's it. And it is it. Praise God. I have nothing else to say except thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I am stunned, but that's his grace. His grace is stunning. And then in that, you lock into this new man, this Christ that lives in you. And yes, when you really believe you died, and now that Christ lives in you, you do not doubt the power of grace. Amen. Don't doubt the power of grace. Yeah, it's all powerful. All powerful. That grace is taking care of you. It's rocking you in that rocking chair. Apprehend that grace. Enjoy that grace. Don't let that grace be made void or vain in your life. Amen. See, that's what Paul said. He said, I didn't make the grace of God vain. It wasn't empty to me. I took it all. Why would we waste our time not to take it all? Why wouldn't we experience this joy that is so immense, but it's only in the grace of God? It doesn't matter how old we are or young we are. Just thank Jesus. It's grace. And he'll grow you up in that grace. He will. Just be patient, but thank him for what you know. Amen? Don't you thank him for what you know? I thank him for all these things, but I know he's got my daily care. And I'm so thankful that, you know what, he's assured me in that. And there'll be times I'll ask him specifically for something because he'll put it on my heart. But I'm telling you, I'm beginning to really know those details of my life, he's got them. It's time and only time for one thing, and that's to know him. Now, I know that he's got that. I just want to know him. I want to know what he wants me to know about his heart. I want to know what he wants me to know about this mercy stuff and this grace. Because it's so deep. It's so amazingly wonderful. I mean, he wants to court my heart. I'm telling you, this is divine dating. I don't even know what to call it. But it's just incredible, this intimacy of falling in love with the one who's in love with me. How truly romantic this is. Now, quit letting the devil lie to you. Really. See, he's the author of these lies. And I've heard it again lately. Quit this old saying, well, that's just how I am. There isn't anything more repulsive in any way. That's just how I am. Well, I got news for you. You are not the I am in you anymore. He is the only I am in you. Galatians 2:20. Go wrestle with that. Please don't. Just believe it. No, really, I hear that. Well, this is the way I am. No. That's a lie. I can tell you that's a lie. He is the only I am in you. See, when we do that, what we're doing is idealizing ourselves, if you will. That's the idol Jesse. That's the idol James. Aaron. Huh? You don't want that idol. Matter of fact, that idol died a long time ago. It's dead. Isn't that wonderful? That's dead. We're brand new. And it's not just a new life, praise God, it's his life. And I think that's really what is present upon my heart, is to have that life break out more and more and more in our life. It's the only beauty there is. And in that sincerity, we don't try and strive for this. It's letting God. It's just letting God. It's letting this truth just reign. And matter of fact, it's going to be the only way you can ever be glory for him. It's got to be all of Christ in you, the hope of glory that lives. I know you believe that. But by the grace of God, are we letting that? all of Christ in you, the hope of glory, live.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want to be selfish with God. I don't want to go to God and tell him, well, this is just the way I am. No. No, 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 no. That's a stiff neck. That's fallow ground. And you'll just hover in the same place when he's got more glory and heights. And you've got to go there. But he must increase to take you there. And I must decrease to get there. And I will tell you this in closing. I'm finding out, you know, the evidence of it and the transformation of it. It's love. It's just love. And it's loving the people of God. And it's not withholding things. And it truly is forgiving and forgetting. It's a huge one. And you're going to say, well, how can I forget? I keep telling you, that I am don't live there no more. I plead with you, honeys. This isn't just some weird concept. This is truth. If you're not going to love like him, you can't be like him in that glory of the bride that I know he's put a desire in your heart to be. Honeys, we don't have time. Don't have much more time. I mean, he's graced us to hear this. And there can't be any harboring bitterness no more. I'm not saying that we're not going to have little, and they really are little to God, but these good fights of faith. But there's things that we've been holding for years, justifying to ourselves of why. And saying, well, that's just how I am. That won't win him. We want to win him. Now, I'll tell you what. This is because that's who Christ is in you. But if you're not going to let Christ in you really live, and you keep loving that dead thing, as my pastor would say, you're a disgrace as a Christian.
Amen.
That's the disgrace. And God forbid that would be any of us. Amen. God forbid. Let him live. I think it's time. And I know there's a lot of ones in here. You know a lot of truth, and that's a marvelous thing. And you need to know a lot of truth. But let him fully live. Because Christ liveth in me. Amen. Christ liveth in me.
Yes. Precious hearts. Oh, how
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we again thank you for your precious Son. We thank you, Lord, that you have privileged us in grace to lift him up. And Lord, may it only be your word that would be magnified more and more. That, Lord, this beautiful, wonderful word of your grace would be the focus at the forefront. God would be our only praise till we see you. We thank you so much. Thank you for this family. Thank you for this precious gathering of your jewels. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.